good to see each and every one of you again. If you're watching this by Facebook or by way of our webpage, we're thankful that you stopped by today, and we trust and hope that you'll be blessed by the message. I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share your precious word today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, for watching over us and protecting us and taking care of us. And we ask, Lord, that this message will be a blessing to all that will hear it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, I don't have a particular text. I'll be using various texts for the message today, and I'll be sharing those references when I use them. As far as the title of the message is, I'd like to title it Peace in Perilous Times. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." So how would you define peace? I think maybe perhaps a more important question is, do you have peace in your heart today? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul tells believers, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." I believe that peace is more than just a mere word or an idea or a feeling, but it's really an awesome gift of God. And he gives it to those who through faith in Jesus Christ and belong to him and walk obedient in his ways. God has provided his peace to every believer. And if you're experiencing an absence of it, perhaps it's because you've not let it rule in your hearts today. Or perhaps you haven't practiced or applied that truth of his peace in your lives in a way that would govern your heart, no matter what we find ourselves and what circumstances we may be in. We'll experience God's all-sufficient peace when we believe and practice these following truths. Truth number one, when we place our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Until we have made peace with God through faith in our Lord's payment of our sins, with his death on the cross, we won't experience his peace, nor will we have the assurance of our eternal destination. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 that everyone is going to die and face God's righteous judgment. Only believers can know with absolute certainty that they will live forever with Christ in heaven. This eternal assurance is available to all those who are willing to repent of their sins and trust in Christ's death on their behalf and surrender their lives to him as their Savior and Lord. Truth number two, when we believe that God sovereignly controls all things, including your personal lives, reliance on this truth will free us from anxious wondering. In Psalms 103:19, we read, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." And if we don't believe this, we'll go through life trying to control every situation, thinking that we are controlled perhaps by other people. But if we know that our lives are under God's authority, that should bring us great peace and assurance. He promises to work everything together for our good to those of us who love him and are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. The third truth is when we trust the Lord to meet all of our needs. Believing this eliminates our daily concerns about, and these three words, not having enough. You know, during this pandemic, I've seen the good people and good things come out of the good people, but I've seen some evil things come out of some evil people. The situation of hoarding. Y'all know what hoarding is. When you buy more than you need. When you purchase more than you need. Those who work in the grocery store outlets tell us that they've seen a lot of hoarders. A lot of people coming in and purchasing stuff that they really won't need. Making the shelves empty for those families that do need the product. They come and find the shelves empty because of hoarding. In the book of Exodus, there we read where the Lord supplied for his people. When they were in the wilderness, he gave them manna every day, quail every evening. And he told them that when they gathered the manna, they were to only gather enough for each individual to eat. The larger families gathered more. The smaller families gathered less. But they all had adequate manna. They all had their daily need. And he wouldn't let them take any more than what they could eat that day. The only time they were allowed to take extra was on the sixth day. They could take twice as much because they would not be gathering on the Sabbath day. So even in the Lord's Prayer to his disciples, when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, the Lord even mentioned about our daily bread. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. He didn't say tomorrow's bread. He said our daily bread. We need to keep that in mind. Each day the Lord sustains us. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. In fact, there's a place in Scripture that talks about worrying about tomorrow. In the book of James chapter 4, verse 13, it says, go to now ye that say today or tomorrow, if we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So take no anxious thought about tomorrow. In another place it's written, for sufficient are the evils thereof of today. Knowing this, then, that our lives are under God's authority should bring us great peace and assurance. His promises is to work everything together for our good and for our purpose. And if we trust the Lord to meet all of our needs, according to Paul gives us that assurance. He said, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. Not only in Philippians, but throughout Scripture, God makes similar promises of this salvation for his children, those who are obedient. The peace is available to all who are willing to believe that what he tells is the truth. If we doubt his faithfulness and we become worrying and fearing, it will only bring us lacks. We'll dwell on all the uncertainties. We'll forget about God's promises and try to carry the burdens ourselves. But instead, we should take our concerns to the Lord in prayer so that his peace, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:7. Fourthly, when we maintain a clear conscience, it shields and protects our peace. Jesus said to his disciples, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful, John 14:27. If we are allowed to sin in our lives, our conscience will gnaw away at our peace because we've been disobedient to God. Many times we try to find relief by seeking substitutes from the world, but I can tell you it'll only be short-lived. The only way to have genuine peace is to turn back to Christ, repent, and receive his forgiveness and his cleansing. Fifthly, when we can accept ourselves the way that God has made us. This guards us from trying to change something about ourselves which we have no control. God's created us each to be unique. We have our own personalities and abilities. If we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we've also been given spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit who dwells in each and every one of us. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, it's through these gifts that he helps us to serve one another. But yet sometimes we aren't content with how God has designed us. But we must learn to trust in his wisdom and be satisfied with with his choices for us, because only then will we have his peace. Sixthly, when we have a sense of his purpose for our lives that will protect us from the plague of emptiness. Oh, many people have been plagued by the plague of emptiness. Many people seeking other worldly concerns and things, only to find out that only Jesus can satisfy your hungry soul. Many today struggle with feelings of emptiness. The Apostle Paul tells us what God says about believers. For we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. You see, his purpose for us includes living a godly life by following and obeying him and walking in his ways. Many people try to fill their void in their lives with all that the world offers. But I can tell you, a relationship with God through Jesus is the only thing that will truly fulfill and satisfy your empty heart. The closer we draw to him through prayer, or perhaps through reading his word, obedience to his word, or service with our spiritual gifts, the more of his peace we will be able to experience. And seventh, when we have a sense of completeness in our life because of Christ's sufficiency, knowing that God equips us for whatever he calls us, he also protects us from failures, an overwhelming feeling of inadequacy. We are given them spiritual gifts to help us to serve the Lord as he desires. When we depend on him and live in his sufficiency, we not only experience his peace, but will become also a witness to others as they see how God can work in a life that's submitted to him. Now others will say, well, how can you do that? I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. There are many things that God will enable you to do. And then lastly, when we have a sense of belonging, this will also shield us from the painful feelings of being rejected or feel unwanted. Jesus gives this invitation: come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Matthew 11 and 28. When we come to Christ, we have peace, knowing that nothing can separate us from him. It doesn't mean that we'll never experience rejection from others. That's part of life in this world. But Jesus died to make his own, and he promised to never reject us. God's peace comes to us when we humble ourselves before him, acknowledge and repent of our sins, believing in Jesus for forgiveness and salvation, and submitting ourselves to him as our Lord. Have you ever tried to find peace? Do you have a consistent or a fluctuating inner peace? Today, do you need that peace that passes all understanding? Do you find that you need that? If you need that right now, why don't you settle that right now with me? I'll pray with you right now. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to share your word. And today, Lord, as this message goes forth, Lord, there are many that are dealing with a lack, perhaps, of inner peace, worrying about tomorrow. Lord, we just ask you right now to, we ask, Lord, that they'll forgive you, ask you to forgive you of their sins, that they will ask you to come and live in their hearts as Savior. And I ask you, oh Lord, to also be their Lord, that they will listen to what your word says. Your word says that we show our love to you by obeying your commandments. So Lord, I pray that we'll be obedient to you and follow your word, and thus we can show our love for you. So Father, I pray, if you prayed this prayer today, I ask that you'll continue to live for the Lord and make him the Lord of your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Lord bless you.